If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew 28. We're going to look at just two verses there this morning and kind of moving through a few verses that we're going to look at today. My title today is simply Missions Matters. But you have to ask the question, does missions really matter? What do you think? A few of you with gusto, some of you didn't really know what to maybe say, or some of you just didn't want to respond. That's the problem with missions. Some are exuberant, some just don't want to respond. Well, I'm telling you, missions matters. If you're unclear about what missions is, missions has to do with you and me as disciples of Jesus Christ, taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to every people, every tribe, every nation on this earth. It has to do with the command that Jesus gave us in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said, therefore, what's the first thing to do? How does that take any effort at all? Yes, it does. Therefore, go and make. There it is. Do you know how hard it is, though, to make a disciple? How much time it takes? How many of you are completely know the whole Bible and understand God completely? Anybody? So you're still being discipled. And it takes a long time for God to, and we will never arrive there. That's why it's an ongoing work of God's Spirit in our lives and God's work revealing His Word, revealing how we are to live. Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of who? Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them. This is that ongoing. That's why we meet week after week, because we're challenging ourselves to obey everything Jesus commanded. How many of you want to obey part of what Jesus commanded? Well, that's where you start. But how many of you want to obey everything? Obey everything I've commanded you, as surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I want you to know He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. And we look at Him ascending into heaven, but He said, if I go away, I will send the Comforter, the Paraclete, the Helper, the Holy Spirit to come and guide us and live within us and direct us. Who is God, by the way? The Holy Spirit is God. There's just one God expressed in three persons. But understand, missions is not a program of our church. Missions is not a ministry of our church. Missions is the very purpose of this church. Our mission statement, how many know it before I put it up? Be. That's a good start. And church, I really want you to get this into your heart and your head and into your life. Here it is, our mission statement. Say it with me out loud. Bringing people to Jesus and equipping them to be like Him. Say it again, maybe a little more gusto, maybe a little more meaning behind it. Ready? Bringing people to Jesus. What if we were that passionate about missions? Let me help you a little bit to remember it. The first word, bringing, starts with the letter equipping starts with the letter B-E spells, so be the church. That's it, bringing, equipping. Now listen, you can bring them to church, but I'm more interested in them meeting Jesus. There's too many people who have been disenchanted with church. They've been hurt by the church, but you will never be hurt by Jesus. You'll never be disenchanted with Jesus. That's why one of our sub thoughts is, I want people to encounter Jesus. We embrace people, but I want them to encounter Jesus. So say it again with me, bringing people to Jesus and equipping them to be like Him. That's our mission. Go and make disciples. Amen? The church mission, you need to understand, is threefold. It is global, around the world. It's local in the things that we do as a church, but it's also personal. So many times we want to throw it off to the global and all what our missionaries are doing overseas, and praise God that missions is happening. But what about in your life? Is missions a part of your life? If it is personal, that means missions is the very purpose for your existence and for my existence as a believer. Missions matters, church. It matters. Every week we come together, we come and we proclaim the greatness of God. We sing to the glory of God. But when the service is over, I wonder how much of that proclamation happens in your home or in the community where you live. I wonder at times, is sharing and declaring and proclaiming our faith in Jesus, does it really matter outside of these walls? I want you to know it does matter. It matters because the eternity of souls that we encounter are important. Today, as I address this concern about us being missional, first, today I want to talk about and demonstrate that missions matters because it has a call of action to you. It's personal involvement. That's why next week I want to personally involve you in hands-on, putting items in a box, but learning how to pray over those items. Learning how to believe that God is going to do something with that box right there. With the touch of a believer handing it off. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. I want you to hear what God could do through a simple gift of compassion when it's done with passion. It's a call to personal involvement. Secondly, this morning, I want to share with you what we're doing as a church together to support missionaries and who we support who are declaring the gospel across the goal. And then I'm going to end simply today. I'm going to give you five simple but costly ways for you to personally get involved. Doesn't that sound exciting? Because it's going to cost you to live and be who God's called you to be. How many of you remember the Great Commission given to us in Mark 16:15? Jesus said, he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to some people. Everyone. Church, that's what missions is all about. It's not just those around the world, it's those sitting next to you. Wherever you might be, it could be in your own home that people have not really dedicated their lives to follow Jesus. This mission is about me and you taking the gospel to the entire world, to at least everybody we can. It's about us taking the gospel message and teaching about Jesus Christ and making disciples of those who believe. In Matthew 24, it's a story of end times that Jesus is sharing with them. But in verse 14, as he's discussing end times with the disciples, he makes this statement. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. I want you to know some key elements that Jesus talks about in the midst of this simple verse. First, I want you to notice the gospel that we share is about the kingdom. And the good news about what? The kingdom will be preached. Sometimes we miss sight. Well, I thought it was just the good news of what Jesus did. That is it, but there's something that happens within the kingdom of every heart when they hear the good news. The gospel is about the kingdom of God. It's about the reign of God in every living soul and heart. Yes, it's about the Son of God. It's about the death and burial and triumphant resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus Christ did die on a cross, and he died for the sins of the world, and he purchased redemption for every soul that would ever receive him and put their faith in him, and they would be born again. At the cross, Jesus defeated sin, and he conquered death and the grave when he rose again. The good news, understand, is about the triumphant, reigning, supreme King of glory, and letting that King, who is King Jesus, letting him rule over the kingdom of your life. And we become part of God's kingdom. And what matters to God should then matter to us. When we understand that the good news sets people free from the bondage that holds them, and you've been in those bondages, you know, why wouldn't we want to see God redeem lives and save souls forever? Amen? Next, Jesus says, it will be accomplished. Listen, and the good news about the kingdom, what? Will be preached. Church, it will be preached. It's an absolute promise from Jesus that it will happen. But now it's up to you and me to decide whether we're going to be a part of it or not. It's going to happen. But are you going to be a part of it? I want to encourage you. Be bold in your faith. Live your faith out every day. Live unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, he goes on, the mission concerns the whole world. And the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world. Church, the mission has to do with reaching every place that is inhabited by people in the world, every people group in the world. And then Jesus says, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Church, missions is the reason why we send missionaries all over the world, so they can hear a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we know that one day Jesus is coming back. There is an end coming. And when he returns, I want as many that can hear the gospel to have heard it. And I pray that many of them will respond in faith to the good news of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us. Now, this morning, it's not my role or my intent to cause any fear or anxiety in your life, but I do need to let you know, as a disciple of Jesus Christ and a follower of his, that living this way may cost you. Matthew 24, that same chapter, he's talking about end times. In verse 9, he makes this statement. Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers. In America, we don't really feel the same persecution that our brothers and sisters in the Lord feel around the world, where they don't have the freedom to gather like we do this morning. So they hide in houses and open the Word of God. Some of them have been beheaded as of recently because they proclaimed Jesus Christ, but they were hated because they were followers of Jesus. If you haven't gotten a clue, America is not where it was 70 years ago, where the church was the icon in the community. The steeple actually meant something. I don't know about you, but we're running into a lot of America now that says, I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to know about church. is going to get worse. If I'm just letting you know. I would love to see a revival break through America, but it won't happen until her church stands up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I just heard news yesterday. One of our own churches in Texas, Assembly of God Church, has turned toward the LGBT movement and said, it's okay. Church, I still stand at a place, the Word of God is very clear what sin is. We love all people. In fact, we love adulterers. See, the world wants to separate it and say, well, this is one thing and that's okay. The Bible is very clear about how we're to live, and we're all sinners. And you say, well, you're kind of one-sided in your thinking. No, I'm not. I'm God-sided in my thinking. The Bible is our rule of life. And if I go outside of the Bible, then I'm making up my own religion. And so, church, I want you to think, you know, we're a pretty strong fellowship together, but I'm telling you, not everybody is in that same boat. And it's going to get worse in our nation. And there could come a price that we may have to pay in our lifetime for being followers of Jesus Christ. So while we have the opportunity, why would we not take advantage of telling people in the freedom we have that Jesus saves? By the way, you will never save anybody. You're just supposed to tell them. I think we've gotten to say, well, I got to work on them so hard. No, you just go throw the seed. The ground will determine what it will do with the seed. At times the gospel is easy and even fun to share. I love some of the outreaches and touches that we do here in the community, and it can be fun, but Jesus, I want you to know, did not hide the fact that following him could be costly. And let me put it this way, discipleship, if you really are a disciple, discipleship is the way of death. We die to ourselves, we die to our will, and then we choose to live for the purpose of our Savior, who came to seek and to save the lost. We pick up our cross and we follow Jesus, and we do it because missions matters. Who does it matter to? Well, first, it matters to God. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it was God who came looking for them. When humanity was lost in sin and bondage and without hope in this world, it was God who sent his only Son to rescue us. And God did not send his Son for the fun of it. Let me remind you that Jesus died a horrific and torturous, agonizing death for your sin and for my sin. But it was all because redemption and reconciliation mattered to God. And he did it for us. Remind you again of what Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Missions matters to God. And because it matters to God, it matters to believers. Church, if you and I are serious about being saved, then the gospel should matter. If you're tired of just doing church and attending church, and you want to live your life for something that really matters, then get hold of the mission of God. Church, if we really care about the glory of God being known and eternal destiny of people making it to heaven, that means caring about every living soul of everyone in the world, then we've got to catch the heart of God who has called us to his mission. So the question really comes to this point, does missions matter to you? Oh, missions matters, but does it matter to you? Let me tell you why we have missionaries all over the globe. Studies tell us that about 150,000 people die every day. That means 6,250 people die every hour. 104 people every minute. That's almost two people every second. If I put that in light of the population of Livonia to our east, all of Livonia would be gone in 15 hours. Canton would be gone in 11 and a half hours. Novi would be gone in 9.5 hours. And Northfield would be gone in 4.5 hours. Gone. Can't tell them the gospel anymore. And while we've been meeting this morning, already 6,200 people have entered into their eternity, either heaven or hell. That's why missions matters. People's eternity matters. I want to take a moment and share with you what we're doing as a church, though, with the missions dollars that you give each week. On our envelope that you have in front of you every week, it has tithe, of course, what belongs to the Lord, but then missions is listed there. And there's other things that are listed. They're all good, but missions matters. The tithe helps us take care of the things that are here, but every missions dollar you give to missions, it goes to missions. We are ministering across the world with over 70 missionaries that you support with your missions dollars. Praise God. Amen. The chances are you and I will never, ever get to preach or even talk to the people that our missionaries get to talk to. And I thank God for the call He has placed on their lives, like the Bob and Betty Sue, who served over 20 years of their life overseas, and more than that, actually, before they got married. They were both missionaries of their own right, but God put them together and put them in ministry together. And now they're home helping me understand missions, and I'm so glad. But in the understanding of the missions that is going on, I want you to know that you have a call. It's not just global. It's not just local. It's personal. You have a personal call to missions. If missions really matters to you, then you can demonstrate how you're going to carry that out. I'm going to give you five simple but not necessarily easy things to do. The number one would be this. I want you to be a person who shares your faith. Share your faith. Tell people what you know about Jesus. As I said earlier, it's not your job to save them. Your job is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Just share the good news of what you do know. If you really believe Jesus is the only way, then why wouldn't you want to share that way? Secondly, I want you to share your life. You say, well, what's the difference in sharing your faith and sharing your life? I want you to live your life so clearly and so evident that Jesus is living through you. In fact, let me make this statement. The only real way to be a disciple is to live your life like one. You get that? Everybody say that with me. The only real way to be a disciple is to live your life like one. Be a model before the people. Model your faith so people can watch how the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, and the faithfulness, and the self-control that you're walking out by the help of the Spirit. People are looking for those things. And by the way, the Bible says there's no law against those things. You just can't love me that much. You can't have that much of joy. There's no way you could be at that much peace. There's no law against it, church. And they'll never be able to write a law against it. Because he said there's no law against it. So what if we started to live it? Share your life. Third, give. A lot of people come to church going, well, I don't go to church because it's all about money. It's not about money, it's about souls. And I'm asking you to be a person who gives. I'm asking you to be a person who supports, not just in tithe, the ministry that's happening here that we are doing, but I want you to go above and beyond and write in missions. Don't rob your tithe to do missions. But if you've never done missions in your life, I'm asking you to step up and do something. If it's $1 a week, and like I said, it may cost you something. I don't know how many of you still drink Starbucks, but what if, seriously, you gave up Starbucks to see souls? Or are we more concerned about us that I'll do nothing for missions and take care of me? Do you see why it's costly? Because it's going to find out how much we care if missions really matters. Give to our general fund. It's written right there. And so weekly, monthly, maybe it's bi-monthly for you. Maybe it's when you can, I understand. And listen, I don't look at your giving. I'm not going to check up on anybody if they're doing it. All I will see, and I hope to see, is the number of missions rise. And go, you know what? The church is doing what she was called to do. Why? Because we put emphasis there, and we're telling you, missions matters to God. If it matters to God, it should matter to us. Support our missionaries when they come here and you connect with their heart. Support them if you have that passion with them. Right now, I mentioned earlier, Northville Civic Concern. I'm asking you, it's not that hard. When you're buying your groceries, pick up a few more cans. Pick up a few more of this or that. If you say, well, that's too much, you can just write missions and put Northfield Civic Concern there. We'll make sure they get it so they can purchase the things that they need, because I want to serve here locally as well. Go on a missions trip. Pastor James, would you go ahead and come? Serve in our local missions outreaches. How many of you know, I maybe you don't know this, we're going to do an Easter egg hunt on our property, and we're inviting all the neighborhoods around us to come. We put out some 2,000-4,000 eggs for these kids to pick up. That is missions, church. And I need hands to help to do it. VBS is coming. I would love to see hundreds of kids here. But it takes workers. It takes us working together to say, I care about that soul. And I would tell you, children are tender, and I don't want to mislead them. I want to lead them to Jesus. Royal Family Kids Camp is happening this summer. It's for foster kids, loving and telling them about Jesus for a whole week. You don't understand, Chris, the dynamic of hanging out with those kids 24/7 is a changes you, but it changes them. It's not just a 1 hour touch out in some park, but for 7 days or 6 days, maybe whatever it is, or 5 days, 24 hours a day for them, pouring your life into them. But we need men to step up. And I know, you know what it's gonna cost you? Your vacation. You say, well, they're simple, but it's costly. What about Streets of Treats and Northfield Light and Parade, Symphony of Lights next year? Opportunities for us to go. Next week, we're going to be going, church. We might be doing it here, but it's going to go, and it's going to touch, and it's going to minister. And then lastly, pray. Probably the simplest, easiest one, but if I'm really honest and transparent with you, it is probably the least one done. We think about it, oh, I really ought to pray for them. I really ought to pray more. But we let time get away from us and we don't do it. Well, today I've handed you a piece of paper. There are more out there if you need them. We'll print more if we need to. But could I ask you, for a season, it may not be forever, but for a season, would you take this and maybe put it on your bathroom mirror and take a highlighter and pray for one a day, just one. And maybe next day you pick the next name and pray for them and where they're at. It's not hard, church, but it is costly because it takes your time. It takes effort. It takes a heart of compassion that says, I really think missions matters. Church, we are here this morning because we've been saved by the grace of God. We've been called to be ambassadors as though we are God's representatives right here. That's what the Bible says. Missions is our purpose. Right here on Sundays and wherever you go outside of here. I pray that you would give yourself to missions because missions matters. Today I can't do anything to make you be more missional, but I share with you some things you can do. Share your faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was on vacation last week. No problem sharing who I was, wherever I was. And there were several opportunities that came up just to let people know I was a believer. Why? Because I love my Savior. Also, share your life. Live in such a way that, I mean, when people look at you, there's something different about you. I want you to give. Yeah, pastor's saying give. I want you to be faithful in obedience to the Lord with your tithe. But I want you to be an abundant giver. I want you to become so generous, so hilarious in your giving, that you just can't wait to say, there's an offering plate coming my way. Lord, what am I supposed to do today? Can you? What if our thinking became that way instead of, oh, here it comes again? You've got to change the way you think because missions matters. You've got to go. Next week, I'd love every name to be on there. I'm doing it while we're at church. Maybe you can't stay for our lunch, but maybe you can be here and help and serve. Put your hands to work. Let's go, church. There are things we're going to be going beyond this, but this is a start. I want to put your hands to task. And could I ask you, pray. That's one that comes awful hidden in your life. I'm not asking you to go on the streets, and I'm not asking you to stand in the foyer out there, you know, going, God, we love our missionaries, we're praying for them. And no, I want you to get into a closet somewhere, a private place, just you and the Lord, and praying for not just our missionaries, not just for our church, but for how God wants to use you. See, in that prayer for Wendy, the next prayer comes and says, God, and I'm available too. Could you use me? Give me wisdom. Spirit, direct my life, because missions matters.